Thanks so much for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. If you want to help us out and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe. I found out that only 30% listening to the show actually subscribe, so those episodes will automatically show up in your phone or computer. Thanks and enjoy.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Tooley. And here today, the lovely and wonderful. You're going to have to get right up on it. So pull it towards you. That way you can relax. Luna in studio, everybody.
Hi, guys.
She's here. I'm excited to have you here, Luna, because...
Hi.
Evidently, there's some kind of... Hold on, I gotta turn you. There's a kerfuffle, I believe, at the Dooley Casa or Casa de Lancini.
What?
Here's the thing. I want you to know, so you know.
Okay.
If you are uncomfortable in that position and you would like to fully recline back into the chair, just pull it back like that. Just lean. Oh. Right.
Nice.
See, all that matters is that just is a little bit close to your mouth, and then everything else is going to be just perfect.
Okay, so
and
everybody I'll isolate else's that spit audio for is you. In the sponge.
No, I clean them.
Okay, you do.
Yeah,
cool.
Every time we have a guest, I clean them,
okay, and then every no time lip gloss.
Every
or,
time I rotate between hosts, so
or herpes or anything.
I cannot promise you that there is no herpes. I do a lot of, there's a lot of people on the show that are sexually experimental or experimentive. I don't know the word. It hasn't come up in the calendar yet. But, so anyway, the last time we did an episode, we talked about, I can't even remember how we got onto this, but it was mentioned, I brought it up, as all things happen on this show. They are my fault. Speaking of which, just to give people listening live a heads up, we're going to be talking about what you find attractive about your spouse a little bit later on.
Oh, wow.
So when I give you the go sign, go ahead and call in at 877-222-8323. We had some great feedback from the moms that listened to the show. And
yeah,
then
I better start coming up with something.
I did a little research. She's in the room, Paco. I'm here to help you.
Okay.
Despite yourself. So... I had mentioned in this episode that my wife cannot drive the remote, if that makes sense.
Oh, my God.
So, I wish I could take a picture of your wife right now.
Oh, no.
I have told her three times there.
Oh, yeah. There
see, is. Isn't that much more comfortable?
But then it's not it's, like.
It's like you forever in your life have been 5'2" and everything must be just out of reach for you. It is like you're not used
that
to
is correct. That
coming
is,
down
yeah.
to your level.
Yeah, thank you.
People can't see this listening at home, but I had her lean back in the chair, but she still put the microphone was still like up here.
At
like
my nose.
It's up at her nose. And she's leaning up to talk into it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't apologize. If you had been broadcasting for 25 years, then I'd be like, what are you doing? Just use it like a regular microphone.
Okay.
But it's there are lots of things that you could yell at me that I don't know how to do. So anyway.
So yeah, like use a remote control?
I know how to use... Oh, wait. I'm sorry, people listening. There we go. I do know how to use a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I know how to use it better than my wife. But mm-hmm. And then Paco here said that...
Yes, yes.
He said
yes.
That you don't know what any of the buttons do, or you're constantly trying to bump back, but then you're hitting the wrong button, which is what my... Here's what my wife does. She will fast forward through the commercials,
mm-hmm.
and then when it's time, she doesn't understand. See, it's something that's innate within men, that we understand the exact angle, and we understand the concept of an infrared sensor and where to point it. We understand that there's a little circle that is barely noticeable on that DVR box, and we can hit it like American Sniper. We're Bradley Cooper with
boom.
That thing, and boom, and we can hit stop. But
another
for some
kill.
Reason, your ovaries prevent you from being able to aim, and you point it to the heavens. and just hit pause and then are immediately frustrated by the fact that the technology is not working the way you want it to.
Uh-huh.
These are all problems in this guy's book. So okay. your rebuttal.
No. I was listening live at that moment.
Uh-huh.
It's a rare occasion where I get to listen.
Yes.
So, of course, I brought the phone into the bathroom with me, and it's on the little ledge there of the shower. And I'm in the shower. No, I'm in the bathroom, and I'm listening to you guys. And I'm hearing how terrible I am with the clicker. And then Paco seems to say, I can be drunk, my eyes closed, the lights out in the whole city.
Yes.
I could be snoring, asleep, all this shit, and I still know where all the buttons are. And I'm on the toilet, and I'm like, I can't even find the phone to call them and yell at them and say, what the fuck is he talking about? Because that's such bullshit.
Yes!
He did it last night.
Yes!
He's like,
get you some, Luna, get you some. Girl.
Oh, my God. I was like, I couldn't go anywhere. I'm like, I couldn't get up. I couldn't call you. I couldn't go on the chat room because it's in the other room. And
well, now we need to know. Now we know that your sanctuary must be upgraded with Wi-Fi
yes.
and tablets. You
right.
need
Thank
a magazine
you.
Rack.
Oh,
with
yes.
For just
oh,
education.
I love that idea. The wireless keyboard.
Right.
Right.
You just
next
bring
to the
it
toilet
down.
Paper.
But see, when you do the wireless keyboard, it's going to be set just slightly too high. You're going to be like a rabbit typing at just eye level, trying to look over the keys.
Oh my God! No,
is that when you were at your office? Did they just see your forehead on top of the
pretty
desk
much.
And
yeah,
you
yeah.
reaching above it?
Yeah, when like, I had to do reception, it was just hilarious.
Ironic that you could type without looking at the keyboard because you're so short, but you can't work a remote. It's so weird.
Oh, you're pissing off.
Hey, that's a good point. That's right. A very good point. Excellent typist.
Yeah.
Terrible remote controller.
Oh my God.
So
coming from the guy who can't spell?
Yeah. Oh, snap-a-doodle. Oh, my good golly gosh almighty, everybody. It's getting real. I'm going to need like a boxing bell in here. Ding, 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 ding.
It's across the street.
So you're saying he was being hyperbolic.
Yes.
He was exaggerating slightly in his ability to drive the remote.
Not slightly.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He does it too.
What was it? Was it he can't?
He does it too. Just freaking last night. No, this morning was it? This
know.
Morning, yes, it was.
I don't know.
We're watching that stupid show called The Whispers on ABC, by the way.
Oh, how dare you watch network television?
Bastard.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
And we're watching The Whispers, and suddenly it's like, just like you said, Justin, you know, go through the commercials. You know exactly
yeah.
when to press
yeah.
when the show starts, right? There's usually like this little blank, like there's the AB signal and then the blank, and then you press stop and the show starts, right?
Yeah.
No, I think he went into like the second act of the third part of the show. And then he's like, oh, sorry. And then he's like, not backing up with like the full backup, but with the 30-second click, 30-second. 30-second. I said, okay, so I just saw the whole fucking scene backwards.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
You know what's great about this moment for me is that when Adam told me that you took issue with something he said on the show, he tells me 15 minutes before we're supposed to go live, right? He says,
yeah.
I don't know if you could just pull the audio. Like, I barely have enough time to it takes a long time to highlight everything
on a
sheet of paper.
It takes a long time to highlight everything. Right. Not just the pertinent stuff, but everything gets highlighted.
Luna's got lots of side points. We might have to have a sideshow of just Luna critiquing the main show.
I think Luna is a sideshow.
Thank you.
So,
I have the hair.
So he says, because I think she might need to hear it again just to relight the fire. Evidently,
uh-huh.
all I had to do was say her trigger word is remote, and it's flame on, bitch. Let's do this. That Puerto Rican knife fighting comes out
it
of
all
her.
Came, it all came out.
She'll cut your ass. Okay.
No. Oh, and then
uh-oh.
When you guys started in with the frickin' dry driving.
Yeah.
I had to go take, who's that one? The older one? Is it Diego?
Diego.
Chad?
Diego.
I had to take Diego to his
date. So anybody who's
date.
New to the show, Paco not only has a euphemism for himself, but he or pseudonym for himself, pseudonym. Sorry. That's but right. He also has them for each of his children. So it's yeah. not like she doesn't know the names of her children. What's the older one's name again? Ah, fuck it. Anyway, I know how to drive a car.
No, just when you're just ranting and raving about Natalie's driving, yeah. I had to go friggin' take him to his date. Okay, I have to take him to his date. I'm like, what the hell? Get on your goddamn bicycle. Go get your freaking date. No, but I had to take him. So I missed the whole thing.
Jack, oh, is Jack is here. Jack is here. Yeah, what's up, son?
Hello.
What do you need?
Hi, Jacob.
What? Make it quick, please. We're on the air. We're live. We're
oh, no, he forgot.
Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Did I finish?
Yeah. No, you're not playing a different game. Go do what you got to do. I just need 45 more minutes, okay? Not playing it on a different system. You have more than enough in there to entertain yourselves, all right? Shut the door, please. Thank you, boys.
Oh my God.
Summer
so
vacation
cute.
Is going to fucking kill me. They are. They're adorable. But
oh
I fucking.
My God,
oh, they're
so
here all
cute.
The time? Huh?
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, I could drop them
I
off at the preschool.
It's summer. I'm like, what the heck are they doing here?
Somebody just said, is Luna from New York? Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, who is that? That's not Nikki, that's for sure.
All right, so where were we? You were saying that you have to drive your son to his date, and you're
yes,
saying that
so
he should get his license?
Whole- Yes.
And why does he not have his license then? He just doesn't have the desire?
He doesn't have it. How
I'll
could
tell you why.
17-year-old not having a desire to get in a freaking car and drive it.
Because
I don't
he's got Uber and Lyft. That's the two of you. I don't know which one of you is which.
I'm Uber. He's Lyft.
Exactly. Whichever one of you is more inclined to have a pink mustache.
I forgot that, yeah.
Is Lyft. Here's what my father noticed is that necessity is the mother of invention, and there is no stronger motivation than uninvolvement.
Yes, definitely.
If I ever came to my father at 16 years old and said to him, hey, I need a ride somewhere. He goes, man, should have gotten that license in a car, huh? Dang, that sucks to be you because I'm watching this Bob Vila show right now. So go fuck yourself.
But
when you're driving, you're saying that I want to hear about what Paco does wrong in the car. Is he not a good driver?
Well, he does everything that you're not supposed to. And
oh,
the
really?
Boys are in the back seat yelling at him. Because he's like,
how are
texting,
they yelling? They already have their license.
Texting, you know,
he's texting
trying to
and
find
driving?
Some gum to chew because he's got to go through all the crap that's in the, you know, in the pockets,
box?
The side pockets of the car, trying to find a piece of gum or, you know, looking at the new building, the new painting. Oh, I never noticed that before. Okay, did you notice a truck coming directly at us?
So every day is a Sunday drive for him?
No, it's so fun.
See, now my wife will accuse me of the same things. But I only text when she is sitting next to me in the vehicle because she is looking at the road and she's a capable driver. And she'll go, hey, like that or whatever, right?
Oh, okay.
That's called an assist. And this is to make up for all of the hours. And I say hours, meaning that these could easily be compressed into months of time where I have driven us everywhere we have to go while mm-hmm. she has napped or slept in some way, mm-hmm. shape, or form, and I am left to my own devices to get us there and have done just fine. And so if I want to take advantage of a co-pilot here or there, you know, maybe that's all that Paco's doing. He's saying, I have six sets of eyes that could easily pull up. Maybe, you know, SEAL Team 6 this shit. You take the front, the kids take the blind spots, and then everybody gives him a heads up. He gets to enjoy, you know what I mean? He gets to enjoy the buildings. And
wait a minute. But
no, hang on. In fairness
one
to
is
me.
Back there, one is in the back with the headphones on.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't want to hear anything his father says. Would probably rather crash into a tree.
Is he really alone
and
in
then,
that?
And then the other one is like texting the girlfriend because he's got to make that $5,000 text limit in a month.
Really?
You know, yeah, 5,000 texts in a month.
He goes through a 5,000 texts.
In a month.
Are you kidding
and
me?
And I'm like, dude, wait a minute. The last time I checked, we were like 3 days away from the changeover.
Cut off. Yeah,
the
where
cut
it
off.
Starts the new
month. And he was at 498. I said, come on, dude, you can make it. You can make it. And he did.
He did? He broke
made
the...
Made us proud.
He is never without the phone in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And yet, when you text him... As a parent.
Oh, as a parent? He
no
doesn't
response.
Know.
See, I don't, and again, I never say this.
Yeah.
Let me make the, I've said it to your husband multiple times. I know, I am not saying this from a place of judgment. I'm saying it only so that in a few, what are we at? We're at 8 years away now that my, I will be able yes. to put this foot in my mouth. Because to me, the thing that you have, that is the carrot on the stick. And the thing is that there are so many opportunities to just really fuck with their world in a way that I would feel would be so much more satisfying than my father ever felt slapping me in the ass or knuckling me on the head. And that
right.
just for him to randomly just, you know, just I would love to just look him in the eyes and say, I've got you by the short hairs. You know why? Because you love that iPhone. You love it so much and you're so much on it. Guess what? Guess who just reined back the text limit to 3,000, bitches? You want to dance? You want to? What's that? You don't like what I made for dinner? Oh, guess who only gets 1,000 texts now? Oh, crap. That sloppy Joe's looking really good, I bet, right now. My house will become some kind of sweatshop. It will happen. And I
can't wait to be there.
I know, right?
I can't wait to Here's see all this and how it works.
I know, exactly. It's either going to, either way, it's a win-win for you. Because if it does work, then I feel like you could live vicariously through me and watch yes. me torture my teenage sons.
Yes.
Or B, you could just watch me flounder around like a fish out of water, getting more and more gray hair. I guess the next step is it's just going to start falling out. Or I'm literally going to start plucking it out. I'm going to develop that nervous
Yeah, right, right.
Pulling it out of my scalp.
Now, jumping back to the texting for a minute, I have been known on more than one occasion to hand my phone over to the fair Luna and say, send a text to so-and-so for me. I'm not constantly texting. I do occasionally try to do the responsible thing. That request, by the way, does seem to put her into a tailspin, though.
Oh, my God.
Because...
You know, like when you go into the junk drawer?
Yeah.
And you're like, where the fuck is that one screw or whatever? That's what it's like being on his phone. It's like, where the hell is the little bubble for the text? Wait, what's on this phone? And then there's like 10,000... apps open, and the bright light is so bright you can't barely see it. So bright, you're like, oh my God. And then it's like the 10,000 pictures. I'm like, fuck it, you figure it out. Kill us all with your damn text.
Well, here's what I take umbrage then. I will defend my dear friend here.
Umbrage?
Yeah.
Okay.
For all intensive purposes.
Wait. Intensive?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's the correct saying in this dojo.
Okay.
We can say it any way we want across the street, but here
it's intensive purposes, not intense and or whatever bullshit your husband believes
please.
In. No, but... He is so busy. When he texts, he doesn't actually type. He talks into,
the phone.
Like he's Captain Kirk leaving his star log. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then with the hand over there like this. Oh,
he does the hand? I've never seen him do the hand. That's awesome. Because we'll be talking to him. He's like, hold on. I can have a conversation and send a text, much like a 16-year-old can do. But when Adam stops the conversation, he says, give me a second. On my way. We'll be there shortly. Must get milk at the store.
You forgot the punctuation.
And then that's right.
Period.
On my way, period. Must get milk at the store.
Open quote.
Whole milk only, close quote.
Well, those would have been parentheses.
Open parentheses.
I didn't know it does open quote and parentheses.
Yeah, no, I go, comma, et cetera, close parentheses, ellipsis. Yeah.
When he said ellipsis, I was like, I'm going to throw my phone at his head.
Adam is as close to her as I think I've ever seen anybody. Fair to say that he has more words with his phone than you when he's sending texts?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, my phone understands me better.
It just does what you say.
Well,
and there's the danger.
It never stops to ask me what ellipsis is.
Yeah.
It just knows what I'm saying.
Does it, though?
Yeah, actually, for that, it does.
Okay. Because every time I've tried to use that, if I said, go get milk, it's like, I'm at the Thunderdome. I'll see you next Kleenex. Like, no, that's not what I said at all.
I used to correct some of that stuff. Now I just send
you
it
just
that
hit
way.
Send, right?
Yeah, she can attest to
that.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, trying to figure out what the hell he said.
It's usually decipherable phonetically.
Uh-huh.
So if it looks like a mess,
if you say it fast enough,
if you say whatever that is fast enough, it will sound like what I said.
Yeah.
To get back to the driving before we move
okay,
on.
Okay, sorry.
No, don't need to apologize. I'm having a great time. Are you having fun?
Yes, better than before.
See, that's all you need. Is that Is your husband like the manly guy who's like, men drive everywhere, and so I will drive you? Or then why don't you just drive and then let him text all he wants? And then he can enjoy all the buildings he wants.
Because he's faster.
He's faster at getting there?
Yes. Even though I'm hanging on to dear life to the chicken stick, he's still faster.
What's the chicken stick?
That little handle that goes up over here.
I think we call it the old shit handle here on the West Coast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
that one.
So that's like a Hardee's versus Carl's Jr. thing. West of the Mississippi, we call it an old shit handle. You call it a chicken stick. Ironically, that the East Coast is more clean.
Yes.
In reference, you'd think that there would be a little bit more edge to it, if you would. But,
yes.
All right, so he
gets
there faster. So you're like, I'm going to put up with it.
But you're just praying the whole time and holding on and closing your eyes a lot.
Oh, this is unfair, but okay.
You asked for it. This is true.
No, that's true. I didn't think she was going to.
I was going to go this far.
What did you think was going to happen?
What did you think? Exactly.
You thought she was going to come in here and say, I'm terribly sorry. My husband's a great driver. Yes. I should never even be allowed to touch the remote. In fact, I'm just going to sit here and have him put his dick in my mouth for the remainder of the show.
Oh,
my God. What?
Oh.
Why is that? This is his words, not mine.
Really?
No, here's the thing.
Throwing him under the bus.
I will acknowledge that I went too far this morning, that I occasionally go too far with the remote.
Yeah.
I mean, that there is the occasional error.
Okay.
I will acknowledge
you're saying
that.
Her whole argument that she, the 20-minute rant,
yes,
probably the longest I have not spoken on this show, is only due to this one moment this morning?
No. I'm saying that does happen from time to time, but the preponderance...
The dictionary.
I think that's in November. Let me see.
Get out the dictionary.
Word count.
I challenge you to deny the fact that I was that my comments were rooted in truth last time. That
were what?
Were no. Yeah, make fun of the guy who can't talk. Were rooted in truth.
What words were rooted in truth?
God.
Which ones?
The ones where I said that a shockingly frequent amount of time you hit the wrong button, period.
Yes. Fine. But when you have three people yelling at you because you hit the wrong thing, I'm going to hit the wrong thing even more.
The cruel reality.
I do like the idea
that it's like nerve-wracking. It's like they're all yelling at me, can't you get it straight? And then, of course, I'm like on channel 999 all of a sudden. And I'm like, Jesus, you people scare me to death. Duress.
The lack of perspective that it seems that everybody else seems to have in your wonderful family that I love so dearly is jaw-dropping to me. The fact that he makes three different meals and everybody's like, yeah, that's what he does. That's
right.
I don't understand. And the fact that people are raising their voice because we did not stop at a commercial at the wrong time. Or what, you know what I mean? Like, I could get a married couple doing that, especially a married couple that doesn't have a lot of real things to fight about. You know what I mean? Like, that I can understand. But when the kids get involved, I would start beating. I would do what you're saying.
All
I would
right,
just go
right.
Tasmanian devil on everybody's ass and just start swinging capoeira style in the living room.
I have to
like,
jump
what
in
style?
Here.
Capoeira.
Fighting style.
Yeah, it's Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yes. Ask
it's like
Siri.
A dance fight. You'd love it.
I would. Sounds it.
All right. First of all, the first 20 times I made three different meals, it was kind of fun and challenging. Yeah. And the first 20 times that she hit the wrong thing, it was mildly amusing. But once you get up into the triple and quadruple digits on these events, it's no longer fun cooking, and it's no longer fun sitting through her things. Now, here's the cruel situation there. Is that,
what?
Is that across the street, is that far and away, Luna likes a... absorbs information slowly, but she likes to watch shows where the information comes at you quickly, mm-hmm. fast-paced comedies and things like this. And so for a very long time, she had, what did they say? What did they just say? And then as you're telling her what they just said, you're missing whatever
that's
they're saying.
That's what I call
now.
That bump back button. That's the what did they say
the bump
button.
Back. Okay.
So, and then she would bump it back and listen to it again. I said, hang on. You can either ask, what did they say, and hear someone tell you that, or you can bump
yes,
it back.
Yes, but when it
but
comes
you
to you, you have to
both.
Give me the whole freaking scene. All I said was, what did she say? I didn't ask what the 20 other people said beforehand. I said, wait, What did she say? Well, you have to know that they were at the baseball game, and at the baseball game, they were having hot dogs and Cokes.
Yeah, but there'll be two women. It'll be a conversation between two women, and she'll say, what did she say? Not like that. What did she say? Never mind. And there's no way to say that without it coming out wrong.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Right. And no, I forgot what I was saying. Uh-huh. So how do you know what she's even asking? It doesn't matter. So here's the thing. Eventually, we turned the controller over to her because she was the person who was more interested in pausing it or rewinding or doing something.
She was the squeaky wheel who needed to go back and forth.
So rather than her having to request somebody else, then she would handle it herself.
But if you're so willing to let her bump back to see what's said, what difference does it make if she misses the
That's end
the of
cruelness personal? Of it, is that we handed it to the one person who needed to have mastery of the device.
Saying doesn't have mastery of the device.
I think you just said that.
Yeah, that's where you were going.
But she said it with a glare that cannot be picked up on a microphone, which I think implies sarcasm.
I am never having sex.
There you go. You got it. You got it.
I don't know. I think you might be having sex later. I think that I think she's getting a little fired up. And the only way that you can handle a Latin woman is when she's fired up like this.
Oh my God.
Right? It gets you going. It gets the heart rate elevated.
I understand. That's what does. I can check it on my fancy watch.
Instead of it being an ovulation temperature rise, like you get a Fitbit just for Luna and go, D-d-d-d-d. Kids, I got to go. You're on your own. Here's your remote. Don't yell at each other.
Right.
I'm going to need a solid 20 minutes, all right?
Right. Anyway, I think I've
said what? We have to go back because Justin was highlighting a lot of stuff.
Oh, you want to go to what I have prepared?
Well, he was highlighting. He'll just get to that. I don't want to.
Well, here, we'll start with this. And then
that whole thing.
I found this great article, and I think I'm going to try and build a segment around how I stumbled upon this. Is that, you know, kind of like things that make you go, oh, like it's not going to be parenting oriented, but I think you could easily apply this.
Oh.
But it's more for my co-host. And this is one of the things I had pulled to talk about on our anniversary episode.
Oh, okay. And
I don't know, but if I say don't be a ninny hammer, do you know what that is?
Isn't that a show on PBS?
Yeah, it's
Lily Hammer is a
show on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, how does Luna drive Netflix? I didn't even think about that on a PS4 controller.
Hang on a second.
I can barely handle that. That
is even harder. God damn you.
Yes.
He takes out a freaking remote control to do Netflix. I'm like,
I use a game control. Is that how you do
Netflix? Yeah, that's on Netflix. Yeah. This is interesting. Jessica in the chat room just said she needs and wants the commercial breaks in her shows. And I think this is a good point because
she's trying to tell us to stop talking for a minute?
Yeah, I'm like, what is she talking about?
No, not this show. In her TV shows.
Okay.
I think because when you have kids, I think it's nice because then that's a chance that everybody can go do whatever, I've noticed that what frustrates me is that I am not good at not having something going. You know what I mean? I don't like to have dead time, whatever the word, I can't pull it right now, but whatever the word for water, just sitting, stagnant water.
Dead calm.
Oh, you know what it's called at our house?
What?
Ass-scratching time.
I don't like ass-scratching time. I need to be checking things off, getting stuff done. So, and Natalie will just randomly decide. She doesn't, now at least she'll wait till the commercial break, but she used to just randomly go, I need milk and cookies, and just rise up.
Yeah, I understand this.
No one understands this.
Yes, I understand.
I was on your side earlier. You need to remember that.
Okay. I take it back.
But then she just gets up, and then what I love is she just gets up. How great is it to be a princess of my wife? She gets up, goes into the kitchen. I let the show continue to roll.
Yes.
And then she yells back, aren't you going to stop it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she literally says, wait for me. What are you? Like, and I go, well, here's the thing. When I get up, I'll go brush my teeth. And then she'll go, oh, you missed
it.
Yeah,
up high, brother.
You missed it. I go, I can understand what happened. I'll be just fine. So I missed one of Chuck Lorre's brilliant jokes on the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
I think I'll be able to sleep tonight. Because guess what? I checked off three things on my punch list for today while you were watching that joke.
The complicated plot that you
missed. Exactly. So I don't know. Like, it's this weird thing. I thought that she just wanted me to be there to laugh with her, maybe. I don't know.
In my own defense, I hit pause because she's just going to come back and make us rewind it anyway, and then I'll have to watch it a second time.
What did they say?
Right. So instead of watching it twice and not really possibly enjoying it either time, I just wait for her. But I never tell anyone to pause when I get up and leave the room.
Right.
In fact, I should have just start it without me as a tattoo or a T-shirt or something.
Put it on the back so they can see you when you get up and leave. Yeah.
Because I'm not a big lover of last time on, and then we get 60, 70 seconds of our lives where we're binge watching it. We don't need to see what happened 30 seconds ago.
You and I are the opposite of Army Rangers. We say, leave every man behind.
Yeah,
Let us go. Leave us in the dust of your binge watching. Catch up.
It's not can we enjoy this. It's how quickly can we enjoy this and then move on to something else.
Well, anyway, to get back to this point.
It's not Lilyhammer.
No, it's Ninnyhammer.
It's Ninnyhammer. I'm not familiar with that phrase. I'm not even sure I could really guess about it. You know, it's weird because the ninny has a softness to it and the hammer has a hardness to it.
What is that?
These are 11 old-fashioned words for idiots.
Oh, okay.
So I thought this would be a little Paco Porin, if you would, for him.
Yeah.
So there is a jabbernow, this colorful word, which sounds distinctly Lewis Carroll-y, has two idiot-related uses. It can be a dum-dum or a dum-dum's head. Its meaning is very close to numbskull, and it has a rarer variation meaning general stupidity, jabbernowlism.
Oh, God, that's too hard to say.
That's J-A-B-B-E-R-N-O-W?
L. Yeah, jabbernowl.
Jabbernowl.
And then nitty-nitty. There's something childishly awesome or awesomely childish about words like jibber-jabber, higgledy-piggledy? I've never heard that one.
Higgledy-piggledy.
Higgledy-piggledy, thank you.
Oh,
and
dear.
Choo-choo. Here's one for someone whose mental choo-choo train is stalled. As a bonus, it has a clear origin in the 1600s. Nitty-nitty referred to an involuntary dropping or nodding of the head, kind of like when you fall asleep on an airplane, yourself awake.
I love it.
The association with drowsiness led the word – there's no bump back on my mouth. The association with drowsiness led the word to the lexicon of idiocy. Nitty-nitty.
What I do when we're watching television.
Good God,
I'm
going to leave because I don't need these.
What are you talking about? All you need is two of these. There are 11 that I'm going to go through.
Oh, dear.
And all you need is two of them. And here's what you're going to do.
Eye is twitching.
It is actually twitching. It's funny. If you like, you could throw one. You call him a nitty nitty, and he's going to get a little semi. You're welcome. Number three is Stookie. A stookie was originally a type of wax statue or other dummy that made for a smooth transition to real people who aren't much brighter. You could see that statuesque influence in this 1948 use from the Aberdeen Press and Journal. The civic representatives all standing like stookies as they had not got the words of the psalm they were singing. Stookies are dummies, literally and figuratively.
S-T-O-O-K?
I-E, yes. I-E. People in the chat room are commenting that you want the spelling. I think that's...
I know.
Listen, I'm going to give you the sheet.
Oh, okay.
Guess who doesn't need the 11 old-fashioned words for idiots? The guy on this side of the desk. Idiots. And dumbass and shit whistle were great for me. Those three are my go-tos.
Yeah, I was like, where'd that one come from?
Shit whistle? I don't know.
I love it.
Puzzle head. This term isn't totally out of use, and it does have a positive sense as a crossword or jigsaw puzzle enthusiast. But since the early 1800s, a puzzle head has also been a person who is confused as if his mind were a Jenga game that went on a little too long. That's how brains work, right? Damn it. I'm a lexicographer.
One
yeah,
who
not a brainologist.
No. Yeah, lexography would be the study of words.
Nice. Mary Andrew. I don't know what that one is, but the original meaning for this term was a clown, and it's a slippery slope from buffoonery that entertains to buffoonery that annoys. This 1910 use from H.H. Richardson's Getting of Wisdom means something close to dunce. She grew cautious and hesitated discreetly before returning one of those ingenious answers, which, in the beginning, had made her the Mary Andrew of the class. Dizzard.
Oh,
I like that one. So far, Stookie and Dizzard are my favorite. A Dizzard was originally a jester in the 1500s. Since jesters were also called fools, it's no wonder the word migrated to idiocy land. The similarity to dizzy is no accident, as lightness of head is often linked to stupidity of brain. Here's one for you. You can remember this one easily,
okay.
Luna. Dottie pole.
Excuse me?
Dottie pole.
No.
Yeah, you can. The origins of this term, which go back to at least the early 1400s, suggest it comes from a definition of Dodd to make a head.
She's a real Mary Andrew. She can also hear you.
So a Dottie Pole has an excessively round head. So who's the Mary Andrew now, you Dottie Pole? The kind.
Don't
get Diet Coke on my console, bitch. The kind the owner might let roll away any moment.
Oh, that was the best.
Here's another good one. I think you'll like this one too, Luna. Dunderwhelp.
Oh, is yeah. That,
that's better than Dottie Pole.
Oh.
Dunderwhelp. Let's say, just give me a Dunderwhelp. Let me hear it.
I don't know.
You just say Dunderwhelp. What do you mean you don't know?
Just say the word.
Yeah.
Dunderwhelp?
Perfect. See? Well, now don't say it with a question. Say it like you're saying, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Fuck like, you. It's so much easier.
You're right. Good point. You're probably familiar with Dunderhead, which is one of the many noggin-related.
Yeah,
oh, Dunderhead's a good
Dunderhead.
One. Fuck you, Dunderhead, right? That's good.
Yeah.
Which is one of the many noggin-related words for idiots, such as meathead and stupid head. Stupid head sounds so pedestrian.
Yes, it does.
For all intents and purposes.
Stupid head, which gained popularity in 1992. No, it's not going back to the,
by the way,
dawn of time.
In the category of Paco doing voices that come out one way but come across another.
Oh, Lord, that
was almost dead on Bill Murray and Caddyshack. So just remember that with your snob character. In the
all right.
Let's see. Where was I? Chip off the old blockhead. A similar term is dunderpate, which turns up in an 1809 use from the Washington Irving's A Knickerbocker's History of New York. A dunderpate, like the owl, the stupidest of birds. In your face, owls with graduation caps.
Oh, my God. Hang on a second. But this is going to seem – I feel like I'm drunk. That sentence that they used to show –
what a dunderpate is?
No. What a Mary Andrew is.
Oh, wow. We're going three back. Okay. Yeah,
was a very convoluted.
He hit that go back button three times, didn't he?
He did.
Wow. Who's the Jabbernowl now?
Oh, man. Very...
Luna having no problem keeping up with the list.
I did that today when we were watching that TV show.
I just said that.
Wow.
Wow. No. I mean,
now he's going back, what, 6 hours?
No. We had gone two scenes past, and I said, I need to go back and look at that scene from three scenes back because there was a piece of business.
Oh, I can only imagine the look you got on that.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God, the things he goes back for. I go back because I don't know what the heck is going on, but he has to go back and look at scenery.
There was a punctuation error. And a handwritten note, there was a phrase that was hyphenated, which is supposed to be hyphenated.
Oh, that too, for God's sake.
That was supposedly written by like a 9-year-old girl. I'm like, there's no way on God's earth that a 9-year-old girl knows to hyphenate that phrase. And then it was the name of a company. And then later, you see the company, like the logo, and it's not hyphenated. So I see the 9-year-old girl knows the language, but the asshole PA who had to put the fucking banner up didn't know that it was supposed to be hyphenated.
Well, it's probably a writer who wrote the thing, right?
But,
and then an art director
somebody in the art department made that sign.
And he gets angry at me because I go back because I didn't hear something.
Listen,
this episode is not breaking well for you. I got to be honest.
The hyphenated black-eyed Susan. Go back.
I gotta see it. So you're saying you wanted to go back to the sentence of Mary Andrew as the example. She grew cautious and hesitated discreetly before returning one of those ingenious answers, which in the beginning had made her the Mary Andrew of the class.
What kind of an example sentence is that? It is.
It's one loaded with sarcasm, is what I would assume.
And commas.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of confusing twists and turns.
Well, listen, right. It's getting of wisdom. How hard is that to figure out? With what is wise, I imagine most of your time is spent being sarcastic. I don't know. I'm not wise. I'm a fucking idiot.
I'm going to pour
but
over
But even
those.
I get that. You dunderwhelp. All right, now we're on to number 9. Two more to go, everybody. Claude Pate. Speaking of Pate, that old word for the head opened a lot of doors when it comes to naming idiots. In addition to Claude Pate, a word for someone with a thick head. Other insults include dotty pate, jolter pate, muddle pate, puzzle pate, rattle pate, and shallow pate. I love shallow pate, says the writer of this, not this guy who does a podcast.
Yeah.
Which was used in a sexism. Oh, wait, I'm getting on board. Sexism skewering sentence from the 1930 in Time and Tide magazine to confound the shallow pates who complained that a suffragist must be a dowd. The leader of the WSPU appeared on platforms clothed in Paris frocks. Ha ha! Take that, suffragist!
In your face!
I reckon we could easily bring pate back. Lord knows we're surrounded by douche pates and jerk pates. I like douche pate. Yeah. I would like to bring that one.
Yeah.
This one's going to be hard, Luna, so don't stick to Dunderwhelp and Daddy Pole. Those are my suggestions. This one is Sumpf.
How do you spell that?
Unless the H is silent. S-U-M-P-H. Sumpf.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I don't think so. The 10th word on 11 old-fashioned words for idiot is sumpf.
There That's you go. Awesome. I love
Dating
that.
Dating from the 1700s, the origin of this mostly Scottish word is uncertain, but I can confirm that it has a unique guttural sound that pairs well with idiocy. If I said my cousin is a sumpf, you could probably guess he hasn't authored many peer-reviewed journal articles. And then the titular word for this fantastic list, ninnyhammer. I hate to play favorites, and I never exaggerate, but this is the best word ever. It's such a glorious mashup. The namby-pambiness of a ninny and the power of a hammer don't seem to go together, but they combine to make an insult that combines a ninny's lack of conviction with a hammer's lack of brain power. This word dates from the late 1500s, and this 1622 poem by Samuel Rowlands voices a self-deprecating regret. I might... Oh, crap. Haw? H-A-U-E? Haw? I think that's haw.
Yeah, probably. I'm not
I
even...
I might haw... Haw being a scholar. Is he... What the hell is he from Oklahoma? I might haw being a scholar, learn my grammar, but I haw lost like a ninny hammer.
It means have.
Have?
It's an old English for have.
Oh.
I might haw being as I might have been a scholar, but I... Oh,
I might have been a scholar, learned my grammar, but I have lost all like a ninny hammer. Some heroic writers still use this term, like Colby Koch and oh my gosh, Colby Koch, right, Luna?
Oh, yeah.
Heroic. Heroic. Okay. When he was in McLean's, who recently dismissed some economists like so.
What?
Google-eyed ninny hammers. The lot of them. Oh, I'm sorry. Goggle. I'm an idiot.
Let's go back. Did you Google that?
Let's go back.
Go back
I'm
to
so happy
one.
About the Colby Koch hero joke that I listed the words. Like the Colby Koch, hold on. Some heroic writers still use this term, like Colby Koch and McLean's, who recently dismissed some economists like so. Goggle-eyed ninny hammers, the lot of them. Can't even do that. Fuck
Take
this
three.
List. There you go.
Thank you
Happy
very
anniversary,
much.
My dear friend.
I will cherish this always.
All right, so now we have a fun little thing that happened. Let's see, do we have time for this? Yeah, we got time for this. Oh, do I need to make time for a moment of the week for you this week, Luna? Yeah.
Number 12?
Yeah.
They didn't make this list?
Uh-huh.
Wifflewig.
Wifflewig?
Yeah, Wifflewig.
Only you.
He
would,
just made that
I
up.
I just made it up.
Oh. I'm glad you knew it. That's great.
See, that's what you get for 20 years.
I always say, when he says something strange, I said, you just made that up. That was a lucky guess.
So this is a fun story that I saw a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to have audio to go with it because I thought it would just make it much more entertaining. This comes to us from the great state of Texas, which I am a fan of, but you may not be after this.
I was a little confused. I was going like, what in the world is going on here? Literally.
That's Andrea Green, her sister Zoe Green beside her. They described their first run-in with the law.
We were doing just fine until the cops came.
Okay, now what do you think is happening right here, right now? These two girls are doing just fine, and then the cops showed up. And I think they're like 9 years old. Any guesses?
I'm going to guess.
Yes.
That they're running a lemonade stand.
You are absolutely correct, sir.
Oh, man. I was going to say that.
The 7 and 8-year-old sisters set up a lemonade stand down the street from where they live. They tell me they wanted to raise money for a Father's Day gift.
Now, isn't that great? Now, it's not even that they want to buy a fucking Dreamhouse Barbie or a Barbie Dreamhouse, which is how it's really supposed to be said. Yes. Ninny Hammer is me. but that they want to get their dad something, and the popo has got to shut this shit down. Isn't that crazy?
But we can raise money to get our dad somewhere. Like Splash Kingdom.
Regardless of their plans.
Like, although when I heard that, we want to get our dad somewhere like Splash Kingdom. So that sounds self-serving. Yeah.
Yeah, that does a little bit. That does.
But I do like the idea because I imagine that this father's going, listen, Splash Kingdom's expensive. We can't just go there. I would love to go there.
Unless that's a splash of whiskey.
Yeah, you get his coffee. Oh my gosh, I would go down a bourbon water slide in a heartbeat.
Less than an hour later, they were told to pack up by police. Code enforcement saying they were out of compliance with Texas law.
Well, we just had the lemonade stand, and we did not have a permit, apparently.
Items like lemonade require health permits.
As lemonade, they cannot just get over there and make lemonade and have it for sale on the side of the road without a permit.
Now, that's a cop. That's a cop. Yeah, that is a cop who drew a picture of himself in first grade and said, I want to be a police officer to protect and serve, and one day I will have to say these words.
As lemonade, they cannot just get over there and make lemonade and have it for sale on the side of the road without a permit.
No, I want to go even deeper into that because there's a noise where he realizes what he is saying. Let's see if we can isolate that.
As lemonade, they cannot just...
Did you hear it right here? Yeah. This is, I think it's right here.
Just get over there. just get...
He realizes that got arrested a little.
Because he says there's a lemonade.
There's a lemonade, they cannot just.
They cannot. Great.
This is what I've come to.
That's fantastic.
He's like, I'm doing my job. He's in like blinder mode.
Yeah.
Lemonade stand. They cannot.
And then he goes, I just said that girls cannot have a lemonade stand. And then.
Just get over there and make lemonade and have it.
And then he goes, then it happens again. So one more time. I'm sorry. Indulge me.
Just get over there and make lemonade and have it for sale.
So there again, he catches himself and goes,
have it.
What the fuck am I doing?
A
and why is that? Do you know?
I'm not aware of exactly why.
I'm not aware exactly why. Now, I'm assuming this is not the arresting officer. I'm assuming he's some kind of. And I like that this guy. You know what I mean?
Wait, were they actually arrested?
Really arrested?
No, they weren't arrested.
Ticketed, but
a cop.
Yeah,
they were. The cop said, "Hey, listen, you can't do this." Now, what world are we living in? I mean, here's the thing. I joked about a while ago, we had helicopters above this very neighborhood and eight cop units around because two teenagers had stolen a 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon from the local 7-Eleven.
When was this?
This was like months ago, earlier this year. And my friends were like, I thought you said this place was safe. And I was like, yeah, it is. There are eight cop cars, three others that were canvassing the neighborhood north of us trying to find two underage kids who stole a 12-pack of the cheapest bullshit hipster beer you've ever heard of. Clearly, ain't a lot going on when now they have eyes in the sky, motherfuckers. There was a searchlight.
Wow. There was a $9,000 search for two kids who stole a 6-pack of beer.
I wish I could see the thermal cam view, you know what I mean, of two teenage boys with Justin Bieber haircuts, and you see the red of their bodies and then the dark blue of the Pabst Blue Ribbon they're trying to drink.
It trickles down.
But this cop who pulls him over, I hope that this guy never hears the end of this. Whoever says to them, hey, you can't do this.
Yeah.
But I like that the spokesperson says,
I'm not aware of exactly why.
He actually throws another one of those little oops in there.
I'm not aware of exactly why.
So we decided to do our own research. When you go to TexasCottageFoodLaw.com, it clearly says you need a permit to sell certain foods. But we also checked with Tyler in Longview, who told us the kids selling lemonade would not cause them to take action.
I do not understand how you can sell food for money if you cannot sell powdered lemonade, powdered Country Time lemonade.
And then late today, the kids found a way to have a lemonade stand legally. They'd have to give it away, so they will.
I'm still kind of confused.
I'm sad that we closed it down, but I'm happy that we get to open it back up.
But see, that's what I love about these kids is that I would love for the kid I want to hear a bleeped curse word or something like that. Fucking ho-po, shut us down.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Aww.
And now daddy can't go to Splash Kingdom. they found a blockage in his left aorta last month. And we was hoping, because he's been swimming. We was hoping just to have a good time, because he's earned it, and we don't know how much longer we're going to have with him, but the fucking police shut us down.
We just wanted one last splash.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just one belly flop for daddy. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
That is sick.
I have two things here. One is that the reporter on this thing has, she may have been the bad choice for this one.
Why is that?
Because she pronounces it. She mispronounces the word lemonade repeatedly in this report.
Really?
Yeah, she says her mispronounce something else.
Lemonade.
She messed up, I think, at one point. But I was so busy.
She doesn't really have much of a southern accent, but except on the word lemonade.
Where they live, they tell me they wanted to raise money for.
Shut
us down.
The 7 and 8 year old sister set up a lemonade stand.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think she says lemonade.
Lemonade stand.
Lemonade. Well, they're from Texas.
Well, but that's the only word that she says it on. That's number one. Number two. When you first started saying it was Texas and there was a situation with police, I assumed that it was a little black girl selling lemonade. Yeah. I don't know if it is or not, but
no.
That would take
that's a much larger story that has weirdly fizzled out.
That would
for
be
anybody,
very,
for
very...
any parents that live under the rock, that there was a because I do,
God.
And if it wasn't for this job that I have a part time job, I don't know if you're aware, Doreen. But the
I'm aware.
It's all I talk about.
But there's a cop who wrestled a bikini clad girl to the ground.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
yes.
And it's great because I actually made an air check for it to send. They're looking for a talk show host in San Diego, so I submitted for it and I sent in an air check where I talked about this very thing. Where it's like everybody in the media, in my opinion, was saying that you know this guy is wrestling and he had to retire or resign. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah,
he resigned from the police force. Well, it later came out that not only did he deal with like two suicide calls earlier that day? Like he had a crazy day leading up to that. But if you watch the whole video from beginning to end, there's actually multiple times and there's kids everywhere and that he is surrounded and he's the only officer there. And there was talks of like a fight that had broken out and there might have been weapons involved and stuff. So he's telling everybody to leave and these kids are just being asshole teenagers, not even paying attention.
This isn't an air check, mother.
I know, right? Exactly. They weren't even paying it. They were just ignoring him. Like, literally, we joked about earlier, they're texting on their phone. He's like, clear out of here. You need to move on. And then the guys, so when she sasses back to him after he had told her, no joke, 5 times, you need to move out of here. And then she was mouthing off. I couldn't hear what she said, but she started mouthing off to him. And then he goes, okay, get down. And she goes, you don't know. I'm like, you don't tell a police officer no, especially when he's starting to get the red-eared anger. You know what I mean? You don't want to agitate a guy who is armed with two different kinds of weapons. Yeah. One that makes you involuntarily pee and one that makes you stop breathing forever. Like, so he takes her by the arm and he doesn't really go nuts. But when he first grabs her, he goes, you need to get down. And then these other two guys come around behind him. Like they're freaking velociraptors, and they like lunge at him. So he lets go of her, and then that's when the other two cops show up, and then they go off and chase those other two guys. But you know what I mean? Like, listen, I'm not saying that, sure, should he have his knee in the throat of a 15-year-old girl in a bikini? No, but at the same time, it's like anybody who's a parent, I think, understands that it's like, at a certain point, I got to tell you to shut the fuck up and knock it off. It's like, you know what I mean? I kept thinking of Robin Williams' old joke where it's like the cops in England where it's like, stop, or I'll say stop again because they don't have guns. Like, so how many times can you tell these kids to move on before something escalates? But now it's a... did anybody else have anything to say before I rudely move on?
No, don't. All right, don't. But that's the only thing that would have made that lemonade story better.
As if it was the same girl.
Shoulder roll. No. It's just.
Oh, no.
They get tased.
Right.
Oh.
Powder country time lemonade.
Right. So was there a solution to have a lemonade stand and not sell it but accept tips? What were they doing?
No. So they didn't get money. That's at least what the report says. So the only thing.
They should have put a little jar that said tips.
But see, that's what I don't understand is that why do you need a permit? This was the parents' point, but they had it poorly edited because they had to fit it into like a minute and a half. But that the mom says you could sell other food items, you just can't sell lemonade.
Right.
So
right.
It's like it makes me feel that some asshole legislature came up with an idea. It's like there's too many lemonade stands, and it's like who became a lemonade mogul? You know what I mean? Made so much that they weren't paying their municipal taxes
right.
That were like, you got to pull a permit for this, bitches. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that's a great way. And this is what the reason why I want to talk about this story is that, you know, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me as a kid was when my father made me do that paper route.
Yeah.
Because it gave me my own money. It gave me a sense of responsibility, and right. it also gave me a sense of independence from my parents when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I saved up my money for my car. I paid all my own bills. By the time I was 13, I had a checking – or no, 12, I had a checking account.
Yeah.
And I was –
And at 14, you had an ulcer.
I did. Yeah. To a certain extent, it was closer to 16. I had screwed up. I was just writing checks that were bouncing by the time I was 17. I was like, screw it. Come get some. And I was hosed.
Kiting checks. Yeah, yeah. Right.
I was hosed, and I went to my dad and said, I need like $800. And my dad's like, I've given you money before, and it didn't seem to work out for you. So you're on your own.
Right.
And then my real mom, I went to her because they were divorced. And then she said, I don't have the money. But then told my step-grandmother that she thought I had a drug problem, which was hilarious. Because if there was anybody who didn't have time for a drug problem, it was teenage Justin Worsham. But that's the thing, is that we keep coming up with these things that kids can't find a way to work, which is you would think that if a government's whole purpose, if you really think about it, they govern under the premise that you are going to pay taxes based on an income that you earn. And that what is it? We always talk about it, that it's like something like the top 5% of earners, the wealthiest people in the nation or whatever, pay like 80% of the taxes or 90% of the taxes. So you would want these little girls to develop a lemonade corporation.
Yeah, absolutely.
To just rake
like
in.
That commercial that used to run with a little girl at a stand and then turned into a thing.
The Bank of America, or it was also a guy where it's like he left Jimmy's lemonade stand because he didn't have a 401k or, you know, that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I don't know. I would like to hear what other people think. So send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com about if there are jobs that are out there. Because when I had Rachel Cruz, who's Dave Ramsey's daughter, on the show about a year and a half ago, maybe, she talked about how her dad made her build a business when she was – so they had to have jobs when they were like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And then when they turned 12, 13, she made them build a business. And so her business was babysitting. And she came up with a presentation that she created binders. So she would go to neighborhoods or she would go to her neighbors and then have a binder and a presentation to say, this is what I will provide for you for these services. This is what I will charge. And these are the – you know, it had it all worked out and it helped her. And then her and her sister went in together and sold candy at their dad's office. So they would go by in the morning and stock up the candy and then come by. And it was an honor system. And they learned that even though they were the daughters of the owner of the company, that would not restrict people from stealing candy from these little girls.
Oh, I would say it would almost encourage it.
Screw you, boss man.
Yeah. So, I took a lollipop out of Jacob's hand earlier.
You should. You should. It's good for him. Bill Scott. That's what my point was, is that even his reaction.
I said to him, I don't care who your dad is.
He probably could have looked at some closed circuit TV and found out who was doing it and had him fired. But he said, it's a cost of business, man. That's just something you got to deal with. I think they changed the name of it to try to encourage or discourage, I guess, people from stealing by saying, like, so it's not just randomly out there, like two girls candy or something like that. This is long before two girls, one cup, by the way. which, before we move on to this next topic that I wanted to say, I was recently on the Blended Family podcast. So anybody who does not follow the show on Twitter or Facebook should check that out. It was their Father's Day episode. And I had a great conversation with one of the moms that listens to this show. I know it starts with an L, but I always get Lori and Lacey confused. So I apologize. It's one of them, I'm pretty sure. But one of the things that they pointed out that I did not notice is that my episode was the only one listed as being explicit. And I'm not offended by this because I know that the lady who does that show listens to this show. And so I'm not offended by any means at all by this.
Right.
But we had a good joke in a Twitter exchange, her and I, not the lady who hosted the show, but the listener of this show that listened, is that I like that. I go, I remember we keep being pretty clean. And then she goes, yeah, you were. That's why I was shocked. I go, I like the idea that just my presence requires some kind of surgeon's general warning. Like, you know. And I told her, I said, I like to think that it's not because I'm filthy. It's that I'm so sexy that women should not listen without being warned about what it will do to their erogenous zones. There will be swelling. This last weekend, I will try to fit this in. We might go a little bit long, but I had something that kind of was cool that happened. I performed at Father's Day weekend at Flappers in Claremont, and I had a friend of mine who came out from Second City, and he brought a date, and so we got to hang out afterwards. And she was in, like, her, I believe, early 40s, 40, somewhere around there. And one of the things that she said to me after the show, that it's my favorite part of the show. For anybody who hasn't seen me do stand-up live, is I have a chunk of my act where I talk about how Natalie's was affected, like her self-body image after she had kids, and how I think that it should not be. And it's a funny way that I do it. But one of the things that this war, I basically say that, you know, women get all self-conscious about their sagging boobs, and that it's not a worry. You don't have to worry. Like, I'm not going to lie to you and say that a man will not stare at a 24-year-old set of boobies in a Playboy magazine and enjoy yeah. them. But what I think is really missing is that what you're not understanding is that we will also look at your 58-something-year-old tits and also equally enjoy them. That can be said and will be done. And I said, I found a new piece this last weekend that I said, if you don't believe me, and I highly encourage the mothers that listen to the show to try this, is the next time your husband is filling you in about his day and you find the facts about his day uninteresting, just whip them out. You know what I mean? Do that thing that you guys can just do where you just take your finger. If you have a low-cut top, just draw your fingers around him and just let him fall out of your brassiere and watch him stumble and stammer and try to maintain focus, because there is a monkey part of our brain that engages at that given moment
right.
that is insurmountable. And so
the same might also be tried when they pull you over for speeding.
Okay.
You see, he can keep focused as you whip him out.
I would not recommend that, unless it is your husband. If your husband pulls you over and he's armed, just get ready, because he's about to unholster that weapon and probably use deadly force, just so you know, on that vagina. The But with all of the stuff talking about the dad bod and all that stuff, I thought it would be interesting to put out there what – I asked the moms that listen to the show, what do you find attractive about your husbands? Because what if the other way goes – because that's the kind of the crux of that chunk of my material where I talk about that. You know, women, you get a little saggy, a little softer. From a guy's perspective, we don't lose interest in that. But as a guy, I think it's very easy for me to wrap my mind around the idea that not only have I also gained weight and gotten saggy, but now I have hair coming out of places that there never was hair before. And that, to me, that is kind of disgusting. And this lady that came with her boyfriend to the show, she said that – I asked her. I was like, that's interesting. Well, what do you – she goes, well, I think it works the same for guys. She goes, like, for instance, I like masculinity. That's my thing. So she goes, I go, interesting. I said, so you like a hairy guy? She goes, not like hairy everywhere per se, but she goes, I'm really into forearms. And she could not resist rubbing her boyfriend's forearms while we're sitting at the table. And I said, so what is it? Do you like just the hair? She goes, I like a little bit of muscle. Like, I want to know that there's a grip to it. It was very interesting, her word choices. And she goes, and a little bit, not too much hair, but a little bit of hair, like, to it as well. Like, that's what she was into. And so I put it on the Facebook page, and we had a mom who said that she left a voicemail, so we'll play that later. She goes, my kid distracted me, and I couldn't review it. Enjoy my babble, wink, emoticon. But she says that he can fix or build anything, which I found really, really – this is where I think it's interesting, and the difference between – and similarities between men and women is that women feel so much that they are defined by being physically attractive. And I think in a lot of ways they are. But guys, you know, it's easy. You always see the schlubby guy on the sitcom.
Yeah.
And most of these examples have little to nothing to do with a guy's looks. this is no time to call, but I find it super hot that my guy knows how to clean. We have a house cleaning business, and my clients think it's pretty hot, too. I think it's incredibly hot that my hubby has a strong work ethic, puts others before himself, takes over when I get overwhelmed with life, and keeps his lady happy. Wink emoticon. I don't know if it writes out wink emoticon or if this is a new bit that the moms that listen to the show do with me.
Right.
Because I just copied this from Facebook. But anyway, it says, yeah, he's pretty damn perfect, and I can't imagine my life without him. I have one more that this is the voicemail that was left by a mom.
Yeah.
That she said, this is from, that she said
Hello,
earlier.
Hello, boys. It's Lori from PA. And
Lori.
I was calling to share a funny story that happened to me in the grocery store this week. I was shopping with my 4-year-old son. We're strolling by the bagels. I say, oh, John, mommy has to get some bagels for daddy. My son says, I want these bagels.
Wait, that's not the voice of my
wife. I was like, she's got another one.
I remember that one.
Oh, damn it, Justin. Oh, that's going to piss me off so bad because I had it. And then, oh, crap. That will take me so long to find
out. That needs a visual.
Maybe it's here. Hold on. Let me look it here. Maybe I can play it from this right.
Hi, guys. It's Lori from Pennsylvania.
And I just wanted to say that I am super proud of my husband for many, many reasons. He's an awesome father, a great husband, and my best friend. He helps with every aspect of our kids, our house, and our family life. I really like it when, and I'm super proud, when I'm in a bunch of, with a bunch of moms that are husband bashing, and I can honestly say I don't have anything to bash about. Sure, he pisses me off every once in a while, but we are great friends, and I'm super happy. And I'm very, very grateful for his patience with me when I'm trying to move him up on my priority list above the kids. Because after all, it's just going to be me and him when these kids fly the coop. And I thank him for his patience as he's allowing me to work through some stuff to move him up on my list. Thanks, guys, for a great show, and have a good one. Bye.
So I just like the overall message of...
I'm just wondering if she was reading that under duress.
You think so?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Lori for PA, they're a bunch of do-it-yourselfers, so he may or may not have an eight-penny nail gun pointed at her temple.
Right.
He's, call him, bitch. Call him. Tell him that you love me. And maybe that's the reason they bust out the Liberator. I don't know, but I thought that was cute. And then there was an article that the New York Times put out about this dad bod phenomenon that said the dad bod quantified, and I don't want to go into it, but it says, on average, dads are 10 pounds heavier than non-dads. They're carrying nearly an extra 2 inches on their waist, and their bellies stick out an extra half inch. We know this because the government Centers for Disease Control and Prevention take stock of our national beer gut. Every few years, the National Health and Nutrition Examination surveys herds of about 5,000 men and women into medical trailers to be poked, prodded, measured, and weighed. Critically, for dad bod science, healthcare workers measure the sagittal abdominal diameter by having the subject lie flat on a table so that they can measure how high the navel sits above the table surface to get an objective scientific assessment of the gut. The latest data from this survey found that half the non-dads in our 18 to 45 bracket had a sagittal abdominal diameter of less than 8 inches, but only 29% of the dads did. But dads seem to wear their extra paunch with some degree of comfort. Despite the extra 10 pounds, nearly as many dads describe themselves as being about the right weight as those who are not dads. And fathers seem to be making no particular effort to fight the dad bod. They were no more likely than non-dads to say they had tried to lose weight in the last year, with 70% saying they hadn't. Well, fuck these guys for feeling so good about themselves and being so happy, because I do not fit into that.
Well, you know what? I sort of am. What I have to say about that is that I am – it's really kind of it's very special to me that I have at least one thing on me that's longer than eight inches. Because that is a benchmark that at least I can say.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're listening live and you would like to weigh in on this, now would be the time to call in.
Don't
877-222-8323. Too soon? Too soon. But while we're building up calls, this is I looked around because I wanted to find more examples besides just my stupid stand-up act to see what married men found attractive about their husbands, and I found...
You mean married women?
Yeah, what did I say?
Married men.
Oh. Listen, it could go both ways.
It could go both ways.
Married... so what I'm saying is that there are men... this is what men find attractive about their wives. That's what I'm trying to say. So this comes from LifetimeMoms.com, and she said... She sat down with her husband and says that he says, any man will tell you the physical stuff, while titillating at first, wears off after the initial infatuation stage of a relationship. So a woman has got to have a lot more to keep her husband invested in the relationship than just her boobs and other outstanding physical attributes. Now, this internet celebrity would say that any physical attribute, I think, is a good attribute as long as you are a woman. That's what I really think, that if you are a heterosexual man and that is what your thing is, that I think that all too often women get too mixed up over the small details.
How did a guy with such a low bar for excitement about women end up with a wife like that?
Well, we both have very beautiful wives.
Hang on a second. No offense.
Don't spill Diet Coke on her.
Yeah. Don't get her wet after midnight. I'm sorry. That did not come out sounding like it.
She's not a gremlin.
No.
You called her hot and then a fucking mogwai in the same sentence.
No, I wasn't calling her hot. I was saying, pardon me for a moment while I talk about his wife.
No, you might want to just stop right there. I'm going to stop you right there. So she goes, she says, I said, well said. This is the wife talking. That earns you another night out of the doghouse. So just what is it about little old me that you found so absolutely breathtakingly sublime? In other words, how is it that you found it absolutely impossible to live without me these past 15 years? And this was his answer. We compliment each other. It's as simple as that. And I couldn't agree with that more, is that I do think that men get an unfair shake in the attraction game. Now, granted, if I'm a guy in my early 20s and I'm prowling the bar, sure, I'm going to look for a blonde hair, a tan skin, a pretty smile, a nice rack, and some curvy hips, and some thick legs. I don't like chicken legs. I want
he
some.
He just described his wife, by the way.
I want some substance to them or whatever, you know? So, and a butt, especially, you could tell, my wife has a great ass, and so that is my
great
thing.
Great ass!
A great ass, and I got my head all the way up it. Sorry for that one, honey. I think somebody at the company works there listens to this. But anyway, but what I always have looked at for in a marriage, for me personally, is that I, as unromantic as it sounds, is I do think of it a little bit as a business partnership. And I would like for the moms listening to this to not take that as an insult to you physically or anything, or an unromantic to... But to really look at it, like we talk about it in the love languages, is that I do think to a lot of guys, that is what creates love. Is that, you know, she, the mom that talked about her husband cleaning with her, and they have this business together.
Yeah.
That I think it is just as much a turn on to him this, to see her work. It's like Natalie likes to joke that I can't have a princess. I got to have a chick who can plow a fucking field.
Yeah.
And that is what's going to get me going. I want some theft to her. I want to, you know, I want to know that she could wrestle a cow to the ground. And then
get
also
plowed in return.
Exactly. And then cowgirl my ass is what I'm looking for. She says, that sounds like a lovely statement, but I need details. Back it up. He says, you do things that I don't like to do. You clean the toilets, cut the kids' nails, clean the goop around the dog's eyes, wash the kitchen floor. She says, wait, it sounds like you like the fact that I'm a housekeeper. Were you secretly attracted to Alice from the Brady Bunch? He says, that's me. No, I just like that you like things clean and orderly. It's not something I'm good at. And, well, it makes you that much more irresistible to me. So she says, so aside from my housekeeping prowess, anything else that makes you want to rip my clothes off? I like how you treat other people. You really care about the welfare of others. That's a quality that is really attractive to me. But what do you think keeps husbands really attracted and in love with their wives? A woman who takes care of herself physically and cares about the way she looks. Ah, I knew that appearance thing would be a factor. He says, listen, it's always nice for a wife to look good. It's a primal thing. It keeps me attracted to you on a physical level, and every marriage needs that primal attraction. So in summation, tell me the key ingredients, what a husband really finds attractive about his wife. And then he goes on to say, the way she mothers your kids, the way she cares about others, a good cleaner, and yes, someone who cares about their appearance. Now, this is what I find interesting.
Yeah.
Is I think that he is being misunderstood in this article. Is that I think that somehow she chose to dwell on the fact that she takes care of herself. But because here's the thing, I think that is common throughout. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you and I decide we're gonna quit shaving, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna bathe.
Right.
I'm not saying that he thinks I need you to do about 4 to 5 hours of cardio every day, or at least every other day. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think that he's saying, because Natalie picked this up in the book that we use as a Christmas joke for the moms that listen, is out of the proper care and feeding of a husband.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before on the show, where in her book, Dr. Laura Schlesinger says, because she's kind of the devil, where she says that don't wear sweatpants, you know?
Right.
And I don't agree with that. I think that there is a sexiness to being a homemaker, and that should not be looked down upon. Like, she keeps dwelling on this fact that it's a housekeeping thing, but what I think he's really trying to say is that you're a caregiver. And the fact of you just being a mom is what is attractive to a guy who got into the family lifestyle. Now, if you look at Booker, for instance, I don't know that Booker, who has no interest to get married, no real interest in having children, I don't think he's going to be interested in a chick with her hair in a ponytail with no makeup and some yoga pants in the morning the same way someone like me would. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, good. That's what I had to say about that. So then she goes on to say that she talked to other dads, and this is what they had said.
Yeah.
She is my best friend with whom I have safe harbor to talk about anything. I definitely agree with that. She gets excited over my accomplishments. By example, she has taught our kids to give rather than receive. As such, we have 4 amazing, self-confident, successful children. Now that's sexy. That guy happens to be a doctor. I don't know why, but that's what they mentioned, so I thought, why not say it? Number four, intelligence. I like how my wife is constantly learning new things and using her talents. We have fascinating conversations because we both love to learn and teach each other new things. I feel like our kids are so lucky to have a smart and interesting mom. Her humor. She has this wonderful sense of humor. I think that's what's going on right here. We can always joke around. Confidence. See, and this is what I think is what he's really talking about in taking care of yourself. Confidence. Yeah. Some men prefer women with low self-esteem, but not me. Who wants a woman with low self-esteem?
Well, people who don't want to have anyone to put up a fight.
Oh.
You want to be able
like
to.
Like a confidence off?
Yeah, well, you want to be able to push them around more.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I like a woman I can push around. A woman who is sure of herself, knows when to be assertive, and is outspoken at times is very attractive in my book. Thus, when my wife takes over a conversation or orders someone around or stands her ground to her friends, it really turns me on. Now, what I want to say—
He likes a harpy.
Yes. What I want to say about this is that—
Not nice.
There's the same guy who I was talking to on that night. He actually, later in the conversation, because it became about what do you find attractive in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because it is my favorite part of my act right now, and it really hit close to home. And she thought it was very funny, and it also had a powerful message, which is not something I ever would have thought of.
Yeah.
But I think, he also said that he goes, I like to be told what to do even in the sack. And so I don't know if that is a good thing for women. I don't know if that's something that you're into, but I thought it should be said, especially to the moms.
Is this your after-show conversation? This is just to,
yeah.
Okay.
Would you think I was having this on stage?
No. Oh. I was just trying to reset because you're jumping back to something previous, and I just wanted to make sure I understood because it really sounds to me like they were trying to get you in bed.
No.
Because, you know, you got some hairy forearm. I can see the firm muscle there.
No, I don't have. The guy had a big-ass forearm.
And he was saying it was okay for you to order him around in bed.
Not me. He was saying her.
I don't know, man. I think you missed an opportunity.
Call him, I'm going to swing crazy with those people. And then the last one. The way my wife smiles when looking at me as I am giving her a foot massage is so attractive to me. She has that look in her eye when she smiles. That makes me melt. So,
what is it with the foot massage on the women?
I don't know, but we have a caller, so let's
figure
that out.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
So let's see who this is there. Now you're connected. Who is this calling, please?
Indiana Andrew.
Indiana Andrew, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. How would you like to weigh in on this idea of attraction? Are you calling to say what you find attractive about your wife, or do you disagree with something that we have already discussed?
I will chime in. She's not my wife. I knocked up my girlfriend.
Yes. Indiana Andrew. Yes. Am I wrong? You're the one that's found out you're having a girl. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah, you had a 50-50 chance of getting that right.
No, come on. No, not everybody tells me. Go ahead, Indiana Andrew. I'm sorry.
She is, I am... Sorry, Paco. I'm very thin. I've been born like this. I can't pack on weight for the life of me. I like to eat. I eat like a fat kid. And she has this wonderful, wonderful, I don't know how to explain it. She's a fat kid at heart, too. And she is not ashamed to eat in front of me.
Really?
And unlike any girlfriend I have ever had, she'll eat. We go out to eat. And she'll eat what she wants to eat, and she can sometimes eat more than me. Sometimes she doesn't, but it's awesome. The greatest feeling ever.
I like this.
Really strange, but yeah.
I like that you like that you like to watch her just throw down a porterhouse steak.
This is my favorite call ever.
It's very sexy.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Indiana Andrew. I appreciate it. And call back anytime, sir.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Hey, the phones work.
Of course they do. This is also somebody in the chat room says, I love when my wife wears my ball caps. Oh, my God. That is fucking hot. I don't – I hit drop. And still,
he was making love to that thing.
Exactly. I think he was eating his phone. But that is way hot. Natalie does not wear enough hats, in my opinion. And every time she does, oh, my gosh. That just – Butcher Drew – who is our favorite.
All right.
he says if we're business partners, she's the CEO and I'm the face of the franchise.
That's great.
I'm trying to sift through the chat, but I don't know. I thought it was an interesting topic. I would love to hear anybody who would like to email in, and maybe we could talk about this for a little bit longer. And I don't know. I thought it was cool because everybody's talking about the dad bod, and then, of course, I ran across this woman. And I think especially when you have a family, and this is what I learned from everybody weighing in, the moms and stuff like that, is that so much of your sex life in particular, because when a relationship starts, there's like it's hot and heavy. You know what I mean? This man literally rented an apartment so he could bone you. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
He rented an apartment and could barely furnish it just because he's like, she will change her mind if she sits in a car for longer than 10 minutes, and that cannot be said. You know what I mean?
Just the mattress.
I don't know. I'm not speculating in any way, shape, or form, but here's what I'll say so that I'm not saying something inappropriate about you guys. I'll say something inappropriate about myself. My wife and I used to bang 5 times a day.
Stop.
But we were like 18 years old, 19 okay. years old. Now it's like I'm struggling to get in one a week. You know what I mean? Like it's a fight. And it's not even like I'm struggling in the sense that she's like, no. It's just your life changes. And it becomes so much more about kids and what's going on. And what I've learned from these articles and our fantastic listeners is that I think we can easily wrap our minds around the sex and the how much it happens and the how much it doesn't happen. And what is really honestly going on is that the attraction is kind of transformed into a different way. I think if you find yourself looking at your partner and you see these things that are different, like I like the fact that he can fix things, or I like the fact that he can clean things, I like the fact that she can throw down a double-double at In-N-Out Burger, you know what I mean? That these are like what this lady, this is why I pulled this article, is that like what her husband was describing, is that these physical attributes are short-lived. And that what really maintains the longevity, the stamina of a relationship is these interests beyond that. You know what I mean? Like from the outside looking in, I think it's you guys and how you kind of playfully poke and prod at each other. I find it incredibly adorable and incredibly endearing. I love it every time I see it. I don't know. Tell me if I'm crazy wrong. But all I see is your guys' love for each other when you laugh about the shit that drives you nuts. God, yes. I do.
Certainly our common sense of humor.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to come in here and scream at each other and let me bask in that love, because it was good times.
Absolutely.
So I asked earlier and I can't remember what the answer was, but we got to wrap it up. Do you want to do a moment of the week before we leave, Luna, or you want to just let it go? You don't have to have one. I just don't want to. If you don't have one, we could just go. We could just do it.
Something like flew in and out of my head, but now I can't remember.
That's okay. That's totally fine. We usually do it on Friday, but I just want to make sure I was not jilting you. All right. So that was our show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. We have some questions, and we've got a date. July 15th, we are going to be recording with Dr. J. So if you have more questions for Dr. J, send those in to show@thedadpodcast or questions, the drill, Facebook, whatever. You can leave a voicemail like Fantastic Lori did if you call when the show's not broadcasting at 877-222-8323. Likes at Facebook. I'd like to break 1,000 likes on there. That could actually help us with some sponsor stuff and all that stuff. If you want to see behind-the-scenes stuff, follow Paco on the Instagram, call_of_Dooley. That is in the description of this episode, as is all of our Twitter handles and all that jazz. Listen live again at mixlr.com/dadpodcast this Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. I have way too much stuff I'm plugging. And now, so for the final plug is our fantastic Paco to talk about our Amazon banner.
All right, then. Lovely Luna. It's so nice to have you here. And here's the thing. I'm fairly certain that there's something you don't know how to do, and I want to tell you how to do it. Do you know how to bookmark the Dad Podcast website so you can get to Amazon?
No, I didn't.
Well, here's the thing. What you want to do is you want to go to the Dad Podcast podcast website and scroll down to the bottom, and right there, boom, big as you please, is an Amazon banner. When you click on that banner, it's going to take you on through to Amazon. It's a beautiful thing over there. It's a wonderful place. You can be lost in there for days. But what you're going to do while you're there is you're going to buy something, aren't you? You're going to have them send it to you, aren't you? And it's you're going to spend that money anyway. It's not going to cost you anything extra. And what they're going to do is they're going to send us a shilling or two. And here's the thing. It's going to be awesome.
Butcher Drew is saying Chinese again.
Grasshopper?
Cad Monkey says Aussie.
No, it's not Aussie. I think they should be a little bit more like Aussie. I don't know. Anyway, go do it. You know how to do it, and thank you.
Thanks, Michael Caine. On behalf of the beautiful Luna, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley.
Oh, I'm so hot.
This is Johnson Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everybody.